In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favorite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the eras to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Niche and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinirao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Kia ora ana to our audience across the Pacific and a huge congratulations to the Cook Island HU. Hey, it's been a big weekend for our Cook Islanders, but we'll get
straight
to that
there.
Very shortly.
He's gone straight there.
Welcome everyone to Nijin Footy, the best spot for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name's Tinirao Aruna, and alongside me is my kawi, Sammy Wykes. I thought I'd just go straight to the point.
Straight there. Well, I'm going to go to Tiramawa Iwi.
He's a salty Tongan Australian sitting here.
What a game that was, though.
He was quite happy. What a game. But it was a game. We'll get to
first time wearing a Kiwi jersey during the game.
Hey, I've got a New Zealand passport too and born in New Zealand. So
happy weekend in your household then, brother?
For the Cook Islanders and the Kiwis. But a big show ahead of us today,
Big one planned. Obviously, we're going to recap the final weekend of rugby league for the year, and it will be with the Pac Champs. What a game that was between Samoa and the Kiwis. And obviously, the Cook Islands, you mentioned them. They have qualified for the Rugby League World Cup for 2026, next year. There we go. So up the Cooks. We've got some rugby news as well. It's a cracking test match between England and Fiji, and Manu Samoa, 1 foot in the door to get to their World Cup qualifier as well, getting up against Brazil. And our special guest, bit of a Cook Island theme today.
That's it. I thought I'd ask the leader of the pe'e, so the New Zealanders, they call it the haka, and Cook Islands, we call it the pe'e. So the leader of the Cook Island HU, who led the pe'e, his name is Ruben Rennie. Ruben has played for the Cook Islanders a few times now, but he also plays over in France, or now the Super League competition, but he played in the League One tournament this year, which is the second division, and played for Toulouse. They won the tournament and they got promoted to Super League, but got a really cool story about coming from just working, not getting your usual route.
You did some scaffolding with him?
Yep. When I first came back and retired from professional rugby league, I worked on the scaffold with
that hard mucky
him and
there.
His brother. But Ruben Rennie, a very proud Cook Islander, and has found a way to play professional rugby league in France, but also different journey or different pathway to that opportunity.
Keen to dive into that. The story of resilience. Love it. So make sure you stay around for that chat.
Moment of the week.
I thought I'd flip it around a little bit, Sammy. I know we were going to say Cook Islands were, you know, qualifying for the World Cup next year.
So that's not going to be the
would
moment.
Would be the moment of the week. Well, I just think the Pacific champs in general, that whole day.
That's a good shout.
We're seeing so many Samoan fans. The game was held in Parramatta in Sydney, and many Samoan flags. Also Cook Islander flags. I've seen a few. But just the celebration.
There were some Tongan flags in there too, actually. I saw a PNG jersey in the crowd as well. So, mate, there was all representation around the Pacific there.
Yeah, we did have three games. Yes, Cook Islanders did qualify for the World Cup. But I think that a huge acknowledgement to everyone who turned up, supported the game, a great celebration of culture, celebrating rugby league. And some three big games that were held over the weekend.
On Friday, I asked Will, I was like, have you ever seen in your time in rugby league, Tonga, Samoa and the Kiwis having a bigger platform than the Kangaroos ever? Like, have you ever seen that, T, in your time? Because the Kangaroos were playing against England in the Ashes and it just seemed like there was just no news around it.
Mm.
No, compared to like the atmosphere that was happening around the Pac Champs.
Yeah, no, I just love that. Yeah, again, we said about social media, we get to see the insides of, behind the scenes of these campaigns. And just a huge celebration. I just love how everyone dived into their cultures. Real proud Samoans, proud Tongans, proud Cook Islanders, proud Papua New Guinea, proud Fijians. And another thing I noticed during the game, my brother, he wrote it on his Facebook saying, give Dr. Tua the MC job for every game, but also is the GOAT.
So, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Man, he had that song going. Like, we were watching it at home. And even the great man Phil Gould, he goes, mate, that ground announcer just had everyone on their feet singing, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. So,
well, there were also some Kiwi songs, some Samoan songs that he was getting the crowd singing. So, yeah, that was my moment of the week.
Ah, perfect, T.
Hey, guys, it's Josh Dabali here, and you're listening to Nisha Footy.
All right, here we go, T. Well, you are listening to Nisian Footy with Sammy Wykes and Tinidau Arona here on ABC Radio Australia. And T, let's go straight into the PAC Champs wrap-up.
Where are we going to start? We've got three games.
Well, I think we'll go in order.
Let's go to the big one.
Yeah, the big one. So the Cook Islands.
I was going to go the Kiwis. But yeah, let's go Cook Islands.
Let's go Cook Islands.
That's the Cook Island A2 versus the South African Rhinos. Now, yes, South Africa does have a rugby league team.
Give me your best South African accent right now.
Nah, I'm awful.
So, the traffic lights in Afrikaans is robots. So when robot. You go, they turn right at the robot, my friend. That's not bad, eh? You like that? Let's get to the game.
To the game. the Cook Islanders, a dominant win. Now, remember, they've been in camp for 4 weeks. Week one, they played the Fiji Butty. They lost that one. Week two, they looked a bit better and put up a big fight against the PNG Kumuls. They lost that one as well. They went home to the motherland of Rarotonga, connected to the people, connected to the community, and they've come back to Sydney 2 weeks after their last game and put on a huge performance, winning this one 58-6.
You're a bit worried, T.A. You would have thought there would have been a lot of work in the plantation, in the fields there with the Taros.
Well,
and you thought, oh, I don't know, they might be a bit tired from that.
I was on the plane. I was just about to fly out, and I quickly checked the score. The score was 4-6. South African leading. We were losing at one point of the game. And I was like, no way is this happening right now. But then again, landed and seen the final score. 11 tries to 1, 2 tries to Marata Niokore, and also 2 to Cassius Cowley, the halfback there. But I want to save a little bit more room for Ruben Rennie, who again led the Be'e, who played in the centres for this game, and he'll give us a bit more detail around that, not only the game, but also the preparation leading into the game. So stay tuned when we will have a player who played in this game, Ruben Rennie, joining us on Nisian Footy. The other game, Gillaroos versus the Kiwi Ferns. So the women's final in the Pacific Championships, the Gillaroos, they just look too dominant. They win in this one 40-8. They become the PAC champs, women's champs. And I know the last week in one of the round games where they played each other, it was a close match. I think Gillaroos only won by 6 points in that one.
It was 10-4 in that game.
10-4. And, yeah, they turned it on, winning this one 40-8. But
yeah, I think when the Gillaroos can turn it on, like, they are world-class. I think their athleticism, their fitness, their execution under pressure, like, they're big game players, big personalities in that team, and they can get the job done. And for the Kiwi Ferns, look, they showed glimpses, especially down that right edge, but and up in Nicholls, she's Cook Islander?
Cook Islander, yep.
Mate, she was unreal. Unreal across the whole PAC champs, but she's a special player. And I just think if they can get more players up to her standard, then they're going to have a chance. But at the moment, the Gillaroos, they're far too good for the rest of the league at the moment.
Yeah, like, they've got the top NRLW players in each team. And I know the Kiwi Ferns do have a few in, Mele Hufanga, Anessa Biddle. But with the Australia team, it's like 1-17 is those players.
Yep.
They're athletic, strong, fast, understand the game. Kiwi Ferns aren't too far away, but they just need more players of that standard.
Yep.
But again, just to be in that final, huge congrats to the Kiwi Ferns, but Gillaroos just too dominant. And I think they're going to be, again, the number one team to beat in next year's Rugby League World Cup?
They will, and I believe after next year's World Cup, I reckon that's when we might see a bit of a changing of the guard a little bit. I just think,
you reckon?
I just think I reckon some of the, because I've seen some of the young girls coming through, and they're both playing union and league, but the way league is going, they're going to capture all of that talent, and there's so many more Shalom Saosos out there coming through that 14, 15, 16 age group at the moment that are going to filter into that Fetu Samoa side.
I'd say the World Cup after, because the Women's World Cup after the next year's, it's only two more years.
Oh, okay. There you
so
go.
They're in 2028. Yeah. So maybe
time will tell. Time will tell.
32. But we are seeing, there is a big shift. And I know we spoke a little bit off air about it, but when you compare the women's, you say the Fetu Samoa to the Tor Samoa, I'd say the Fetu Samoa. So you rewind back 15 years ago, 20 years ago, Tor Samoa weren't anywhere near that level of where Fetu are compared to Australia and New Zealand.
So they'll close that gap faster.
They'll close that gap a lot faster.
Yeah, I agree.
But to the big game, the New Zealand Kiwis, they win the Pacific Championships for 2025, beating the Tor Samoa 36-14. And this game was, now I think it's, again, up to that state of origin standard. When you look at the players on the field, there was one tackle. I remember someone getting tackled, and there was Josh Papali'i, Junior Polo, and
Jaden Sua, was it?
Payne Huss. Oh, Payne,
I remember seeing the big three.
And the three of them just like tackling. And poor Keanu Kinney, who was playing fullback for the Kiwis.
Killed it, though. He's the man.
It was absolutely unbelievable in this game. But he was running back and just getting, having to run back at that them names. But again, I think for the Tor Samoa, you know, they got off to a really physical start. I know that that was one thing that their head coach was saying, that if they get out to a physical start, they put themselves in a good position, which they did. They had an 8-point lead at halftime. First try, they scored through their flying winger, Brian To'o, a.k.a. Bizza. A nice try assist from Jerome Luai. And the crowd just erupted. And then the Kiwis attacking the Tor Samoa try line, there was just desperation. There was scrambled defense. And then Simi Sasangi, who ended up on the left center, he ended up getting an intercept and running 80, 90 meters to score a try, putting the Tor Samoa up 12 points to nil.
He'll go back and play it 10 meters out on the last, Casey McLean. Play to Papali'i, goes to the right, through hands, wide to Foran. Then a pass intercepted. Samoa, see ya, halfway, 40, 30, 20, 10. It's going to be an intercept try to Samoa. And streaking away to score, that's Simi Sasangi. He's away to score. I thought it was him. He's moved over to the left, Simi, and he streaked 90 metres. Simi Sasangi, the intercept try.
But then the Kiwis just switched from there.
Mate, that defensive set that you spoke about, I think they held the Kiwis up twice. And I'm thinking, you know, when you have that defensive set and then you score off the back of it, they're usually a good signs of they're going to run away with this game. But I thought, you're not wrong when it came to the build-up of this game, the emotion that went into it, and the skill level at that high intensity, it was definitely up there with an origin feel for me.
Yeah, I think the area where Tor Samoa probably hurt them was the injury to Murray Taulangi, and then how they had to
readjust
and move players in different positions. At one point, I'm pretty sure I seen Junior Polo on the right edge at back rower. Simi Sasangi had to go to the left center. Just a bit of things that they had to think on the run.
So you know that. So Simi Sasangi, he reads Kieran Foran's pass and gets that intercept. And then there was another time where I guess that was his defensive habit, where he was always going to shoot. But then was it Clark went through or Nafahu? Yeah. Clark gave it to Nafahu White because he left that seam there. So is that what you're talking about? Where that little bit of disruption, not really understanding your role too much, like that's where they got caught out a little.
I mean, you look at, and this is where the Kiwis, their strength is that interchange, that pack that came on.
Yeah.
So you're thinking their starting pack in James Fisher-Harris, Moses Leota, Joseph Tapine, they end up coming off for Nafahu White, who scored the first try, Aaron Clark, who end up passing it to Nafahu White and end up scoring his own try as well in the second half, And then Xavier Willison, who's just won a grand final.
He is sharp for a big man.
Yeah, he had some good late footwork there. But yeah, that was where you look at that interchange and the impact that they had compared to Tor Samoa when they made their changes. They had to react. They had to go into positions where they probably didn't practice throughout the week.
Yep.
Whereas Kiwis, they knew their assignment, got on, got the job done. In that second half, they scored 30 unanswered points. The Kiwis did. And Keanu Kinney, he was unbelievable at the back. He had 33 carries for 219 meters. But I thought their player of the whole tournament, and I'd say Golden Boot favorite, Golden Boot as the international player of the year, would have to be Dylan Brown. He had 3 a try assist. He had 22 carries, so second in the whole game, ran for over 180 meters. But he was a threat every time he touched the ball because, one, he was a running threat, but then he also knew the right time to pass and get his players in a good position.
You know what I love about Dylan Brown's performance over this PAC Champs is he hasn't come off the best season with Parramatta. Like, you know, there was a lot of noise around him signing that massive deal to go to Newcastle. Parramatta wasn't going well and he was in and out. But it just shows when you're in an environment where it can help lift why you play the game in the first place. Like, that would have been special for him to be there. He finds his form again. He finds his confidence and he absolutely delivers on game day and, yeah, deserved probably player of the match and could be Golden Boot.
I guess the big thing out of this game for me is how good the 2026 Rugby League World Cup is going to be.
Absolutely.
You look at that Tor Samoa team and that performance, leading at halftime by 8, they are missing players like Stephen Crichton. They've also got Spencer Leniu to come back. They've got, word is, Tino Fa'asuamaliawi could possibly switch allegiance to Tor Samoa.
The big hammer.
You've got Hamiso Tawaifito, who has already announced that he'll be representing Samoa. So you add those players, even Suafa'alongo from Melbourne Storm.
Oh, of course.
He's going to add a bit of spark. So
he'd be a good, would he play a 14 type of role, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you've got Hammer most likely be a fullback. You've still got Roger still there. Then you've got, like, you know, Isaac Tungo, Bizza, Murray Taulangi.
And Stephen Crichton, for me, he's the big
Stephen
one. When he comes back in, like, that's more of a, yes, you know, someone might be able to go skill set for skill set, but it's his leadership.
Yeah.
Like, his aura when he's in those camps, that's what's going to lift him to those next levels.
Then you've got the Tongan team. And then you've got the Kiwis and Australia, who are both in form. And then you've got the great Cook Islanders, who are also going to be there. Hey, don't underestimate.
6-4 to the South African Rhinos at one point. But anyway, that's all right.
Don't underestimate the Cook Islanders. But anyway, a huge arm.
I know you said the turning point, but I just forgot to ask, try or no try for Mariners one? The right hand, right on half time.
Decision where Dean Mariner gets the ball and then he lands on the try line. The ball is on top of his arm and there's no video footage of the ball actually touching a blade of grass. And it's like, we're only talking like centimeters,
millimeters.
But because the ref, and he might have got the call from the touch judge, because that's what the touch judge also seen, was not any blade of grass touching the ball. He's gone up and given it a no try, check if there was any grounding. So they've gone, he said check double movement and if there was, and the grounding. No double movement, so play on. And then grounds the ball, it goes on his arm, you don't see a blade of grass, and then you just see all the Kiwi players covering all angles so there's no camera angle seen.
Absolutely.
So in that time, the ball could have possibly touched the ground. Now, if the ref said try, check if it was a try, there probably wouldn't be enough evidence to turn it over.
Yeah, gotcha.
But because he went up and said no try, he had to go with what they thought at the time. But that was a huge point. But you still can't take away that performance
from
the Kiwis. And 30 points, unanswered 30 points in a second half of footy. You know, it's going to be Kiwis were playing really good, but also Tor Samoa, it's hard to beat a team. That many points.
That fade out, like, from the way they started and the way they probably finished that game. Do you think the emotion now, like, probably took its toll? That energy would have been zapped from, I guess, such an emotional build-up, but not only just during the week, but like the last 3 weeks and the Sivatao leading into it. Do you think they've sort of faded away because of that toll?
You go back to the bench Like you go back to the Kiwis bench compared to the Tor Samoa bench. And again, not saying about the players, it's more about them roles and how they had to reshuffle. And then that just interrupts, you know, players having to play a little bit longer than expected, players sitting on the bench longer than expected.
Yeah, okay.
Whereas the Kiwis had their game plan, they got to, you know, roll out their numbers at the right times. And another turning point, just after halftime where they put the kick up, Roger Toivasa-Shek comes flying through. Him and Keanu Kinney go contesting for the ball. Chanel Harris-Tavita ends up grabbing it and scoring a try for Tor Samoa. That gets pulled back. The bunker said that Roger Toivasa-Shek knocked the ball on.
I thought that was a try.
They score that try. They go out into that's under the post, so you're looking at a 14-point lead.
Yeah.
But then that probably, you know, yeah, just took a lot of pressure off the Kiwis and let the Kiwis put pressure on Tor Samoa. But again, a beautiful game of footy, a wonderful celebration of rugby league, of cultures, and it's good to see that everyone got to enjoy a big weekend or a big 4 weekends of PAC champs.
Love it, T. What are you going to do now? What are we going to do?
We've got rugby union, mate.
We do have rugby union, but for yourself as... Yeah, with the rugby league season done and dusted for 2025, feet up.
You'd never believe it.
It's still going.
Players have already started pre-season.
We are mid-November, yes, so they would be.
Players have already started pre-season. So my role with the RLPA is, you know, it just starts all over again. We've got rookie camp next weekend, which I'll be able to update on. The future stars. Yeah, checking in on players, see how they're going throughout pre-season. I mean, I love being retired at this point of the year, but the show doesn't stop, mate.
The show continues for our friend, and he's going to keep updating us with all the goods. But
if you're just joining us, you are listening to Nijan Footy. You're here with Tinirau Aruna and Sammy Wykes. We've just wrapped up the rugby league. Now we're going to head over to our short air break in rugby union. Jokes. Sammy, what do you got for us?
Yeah, rugby union, a big test match over in England. It was England versus Fiji, the flying Fijians. The final score was 38-18 to England. Halftime score, though, 14-13 to England. And it was one of the best test matches of the year, I reckon.
I listened to the show last Friday, and our knockout tipping comp, you called this one.
I said
England by 20.
England by 20.
If you said 20.5, this was yours.
Yeah, I know. I would have won, but I don't know why.
Why did you think 20? How did you get it right? Talk us through, and where did England...
Well, I was looking at some of the scores in the past. It's always between 15 and 20, and this is probably what I loved about...
He's done his research for knockout tipping. Oh, that will do me.
England, but the thing I love about England's probably preparation in this game, they really respected Fiji's strengths, which is their attack. So every time, even if they got, if England scored 50, Fiji have scored 30, or Fiji have scored 20. Like, they've always got 20 points in them somewhere. So I just thought, is a 40-20-point game, is that what it will be? And that's what I thought the scoreline would be. And it wouldn't be like throughout the whole game. It would have been a moment where England just would have been too clinical and probably too good for, say, a 10-minute period. And that's probably how this game panned out.
And knowing that this game was played in Twickenham in England, I know that the English fans, especially in the south of England, they love the rugby union.
Yep.
And it would be a very tough place for Fiji to go and play. But where did England get the upper hand over Fiji?
I thought what England did really well is, like I said, they respected Fiji's strengths. So they knew they didn't need to panic if Fiji were able to score tries and create freakish chances for themselves. So when you saw... some of the tries from Fiji, again, just that ball movement, just offloading in the tackle, they scrambled really well, England.
Yeah.
So and when they scrambled and made their tackle, they were able to solve and get back into a strong defensive line straight after that. So I thought they did really well in that area, and they were very patient and disciplined with keeping their structure in place, not giving away too many penalties and trying to play at the right parts of the field. So I thought they did that consistently over the 80 minutes.
Is it boring to watch as a fan?
No, the reason why it's not is because, say, for instance, with Fiji, there was moments in the game where the ball was going backwards and they were bobbling on the ground. And you could see England just getting a little bit nervous because their players want to go and dive on that ball or break the chain.
Try and solve the problem by themselves. And then that means they're detaching themselves from the defensive line.
Yeah, and that happened in that game. And ball on the ground, all of a sudden, a freakish bit of ball movement from Fiji, half break. So they were sort of always like in that mode of like...
You have to stay disciplined and just hold the line.
Hold the line. So I think that's what makes these games exciting. And any time Fiji plays, there's never going to be a dull moment. And when I think about some of the players, like Peter Gasokula, he was on debut for the Flying Fijians after having a couple of, maybe one test match or a couple of test matches for the All Blacks. Like he debuted at six, he just fit straight in there. It's like he was playing sevens. Flick balls around the back, offloads over the head. It's like he was special in this game. And I thought as well where Fiji are getting better is their layers to their attack. So they scored a really good more try with Ikanivere scoring. And they did a sweeping move around the front of the line out where Ikanivere scored again. So good layers to their game. But a very exciting test match because points were scored. And there's a back row for England. His name's Ben Earl. He said that was probably the hardest test match he's played.
True. How many tries did Fiji score?
Yeah, Fiji just got the two tries with Ikanivere through probably, not that flamboyant style of football that we're used to. It was from the line-outs, both from the line-out. England scored five tries. Where I feel like for the Fijians, though, like if they're going to bridge that gap and try and knock off these teams, it's probably what England did well. Like when they scrambled, they solved within one or two phases to be able to get back into their systems. Whereas for Fiji, it probably takes them too long to get back into their systems properly.
Do they know what their systems are though?
I reckon they're getting better at it, but it's like I'm looking at more the habits that you've learned where you get on autopilot when you're tired.
Yeah.
So if there's a line break from England and when you're in defense and you get back on side, you're trying to get your width first so you can still cover the cross the field, whereas you still see the Fijian players, they're probably slow to get back in and they head towards the ruck. So when they head towards the ruck, they end up having six or seven defenders too tight to the ruck and then one pass cuts out those six defenders and then they get skinned on the other side. So it's a matter of working straight back and getting into that habit of awareness around where you need to be on the field so you're just not on autopilot.
And is that more just IQ and then practicing it under fatigue?
Oh, I think that's spot on, T. I reckon it's just rugby.
Mick Byrne and then,
Get me in there. Mick, get me in there. But that's what I picked up on. And then to probably couple off with that is just their discipline. They had two yellow cards in that game and you just can't play with 14 men for 20 minutes of a game. There's too much on the line and England are too good to be able to not capitalize on those mistakes. So all in all, really good performance.
Are they playing each other again?
Not this year. So Fiji play France this week.
This weekend.
So it'll be another cracking test match there.
And then on to our next game. It wasn't all bad news for the Samoan people because the Manu Samoa.
Manu Samoa chi-hooing after that.
Where's
one?
Where's the parades, man?
Get behind the Manu because, they did get up over Brazil for their first game of their World Cup qualifier. So they keep it alive. They won 48 points to 10. They were dominant the whole game. And I knew number 8, Jacopo Mapu, was going to carve up. He is an absolute beast. So he really set a platform. And a big congrats to Vaafawese Maliko scoring on debut for Manu Samoa. So I believe they play in Namibia this week. And if they get the job done there, happy days.
Same as Cook Islands.
Same as the Cooks.
For the World Cup.
Absolutely. But say, good weekend for Rugby Union. More to come this weekend.
Beautiful. Let's get to our special guest for today, Ruben Rennie, the Cook Islands international, and again, who has just qualified for the 2026 World Cup.
Kia ora, my name is Kiana Takairangi, and you are listening to Nation Footy.
Well, Sammy, as mentioned here on Nation Footy, I love bringing my Cook Island family onto our show, and today we get to speak to Ruben Rennie. He was born in Auckland in New Zealand. He's also Māori, but he's also Cook Islander, and he was, if you watch back in the Pac Champs, the Pe'e, so the Cook Island Haka, we call it Cook Island Pe'e, he was the leader. He was the one with the spear, and he led our team to victory yesterday against the South African Rhinos. I'd like to introduce everyone to Ruben Rennie. Rubes, welcome to Tunisian Footy, brother.
Cheers. Thanks for having me on, eh?
I also know that you you play for Toulouse in France. You've been promoted to Super League, so we'll get to that journey shortly. But, man, what a game yesterday, 58-6, Cook Island 8-2 winning. What were your thoughts on the game before we move on to hear your cool story?
Yeah, that game was a massive game for us. Like, we didn't take them lightly at all, but like they actually came out with a bit of punch, I reckon. So like it kind of took us back a bit, but we knew if we just like stuck to it and just, you know, play our footy, we were big enough, strong enough to roll over any team. And yeah, I think it kind of just showed at the end there when the floodgates opened.
Yeah, I know. I was saying the same earlier. Just as my plane was about to depart Gold Coast back to Sydney, I quickly checked the score. We were on the tarmac, and it was 6-4 to the South African Rhinos. And I was like, no.
No way.
Don't tell me that this is happening right now.
My friend here was a little bit nervous even leading into it because we will talk about preparations being in the Cook Islands, but he's like,
yeah.
Man, I don't know what these boys are up to. I know what they're up to, so I'm hoping it doesn't filter into the game. But obviously got the job done. What did it mean for the team after the game to know that you're in another World Cup?
Well, that's it. Like, I know all the Pacific nations, they always, you know, they're really high, like get held in a high regard. And us as Cookies, we kind of don't really get that same respect, or not many people, you know, put us up there. And I think just being a part of any competition like the PAC Champs and making the World Cup now, it kind of just puts us out there and probably just gets more young people wanting to play for the Cooks, wanting to put their hands up. You see a lot of young Tongans and Samoans, all they want to do now is play for Tonga and Samoa. And I think once we get that going for the Cookies, I think we'd be like competitive with up there with those kind of teams.
It was cool to see Marata Niokure come back. I know he had a big stint with the Kiwis. Also seen Valentine Holmes a part of the camp before this game. What was it like having those players come back? And do you think that would encourage some of the other players that are playing for other nations to represent the Cook Islands next year?
Yeah, well, that's it. Like that's kind of what we need. We need those big name boys to put their hands up, just like the other nations did. And I think Val, Mara doing that, I think a few more boys would start to jump on board. I don't know who else they're looking at to jump over, but I know they've got big plans, and when you get big name players over there, it really attracts all the young boys, and it makes you wanna grow up and be your first choice nation instead of, choosing the other ones.
Hey, some of those big name players, what's it gonna take to get either Isaiah Katoa over or even what's it going to take? a trip back home? A free trip back home?
Yeah, maybe a free trip to Raro might be all right. But I don't know. I think I heard Katoa say it on a podcast before that he'll be keen to represent the Cookies. But I think it's, he's got that Tongan jersey on at the moment. And with Big Pups, we could get a special little surprise for us next year, hopefully, but we'll see how he goes. He's still killing it. Yeah.
Don't worry, we've also had Josh here on our show, and I tried to plant the seed earlier, and he did say if he didn't get picked from a Tour Samoa that he would be happily
ready to go.
Yeah, that's what you want. So hopefully in our favour next year, hopefully.
Yeah, there's a few more, like Chance Nickel-Clock's dad.
Yeah,
there's heaps out there, right? There's heaps.
Yeah, I'll get into Chanty. Yeah, I grew up with him back in New Zealand, so I'll have a word to him, see how he goes.
Even Francis Molo has played for...
Is he?
He's played for the Cook Islands.
Yeah, when I first played, he was in the team. Him, Zane, Chance, the other little boys.
Yeah, yeah,
he's Chanty one bloke playing. I would not want to run out. Francis Molo, he's a
bull, man.
Or stand
he's
in front of.
Yeah, true.
But you mentioned free trip to Raro. And
chances of getting on there.
Chances,
I know. I said, you guys went to Impact Champs. You played the Fiji Butty and then the PNG Kumuls, and then had 2 weeks before your next game against South Africa for the qualifiers. Now, you all went to Rarotonga to... do a bit of a connection piece and do a camp in the motherland. Talk us through, what was that experience like, and for yourself, but also for the team.
I was awesome. Like I've only been there one other time, and you don't really get that. You kind of just go for a holiday, You don't really go to see the locals and go to all the like local clubs and stuff. So we all kind of knew that it was like kind of a once in a lifetime opportunity for all of us. So whoever could put their hand up and go, I know it's a free trip to Rari and you'd go anyway, but like an experience like that, it was unreal. Eh? Like I, for me, I'm, like I said, I grew up in New Zealand. I pretty much grew up a Māori kid. My old man, he's his old man's cookie, but he's just a quiet dude, so he didn't say much about it. So I was really excited to go over. A few of the boys met some new family. I got to meet some of my family too. And we got to just, you know, see all the other the locals and stuff. And they're actually behind us. I know we get a lot of stick on socials and stuff because we're not winning and all of that, but all those boys there, they're proud of us and we're just proud to wear the jersey. So that was a mean trip. Yeah.
Mate, it always changes the narrative when you go back home, you know, and you meet everyone there and you see everyone and they get to see their stars and they're always happy that you're representing the Cooks. But just on that, like for yourself, second time going back there, like how did that impact the way you feel about representing the Cooks going there for the second time?
Oh, it was going back and connecting. And like I said, just seeing everyone who's behind us and they're all kind of, you know, backing us all the way. It makes you a bit emotional. I think a few of the boys had a word in front of the team and we all kind of get emotional about it. And before the game, I had a few tears just thinking, man, these guys are like, everyone's behind us and we do it for our people. And just knowing that they're there supporting us as well as our supporters in Oz and New Zealand, like it just, it really like pulls the heartstrings about. I think I spoke to T about it when he had a little speech in PNG before we went. And it was kind of like, yeah, it's different when you're speaking in front of just anyone. And then when you're speaking for your nation and for your people and something that really is close to your heart, it's special. Yeah.
And your family members, did you, did they come up to you and say, oh, I'm related to your papa? Or how did that come about?
Yeah, yeah. My old man was telling me, bro, you need to speak to this person. And like, it was about 100 names in my head. And I was like, I can't even remember one that you said. And then they come over to a school. We were doing a school visit. And like, she's like, oh, yeah, I'm your auntie. I'm your granddad's first cousin. And I'm this. And I was like, oh, that's crazy. It's mad. But they were real nice. I don't know. I kind of just took it all in at the time. It was like, oh, it was mean to just see some other Rennies around the island. Yeah, it's cool.
When we had that chat in PNG, you mentioned something about Kay Carmichael Hunt, the head coach, and how he gets each of you to share in front of the group about about where they come from or what it means. Like, can you share a little bit about those times and what was shared?
Yeah, so what Kay brought into the team is we got this the word called Vaka, which is obviously the boat and that's our journey together. And what you do before every camp, and if you're a new player, we get into a Vaka formation and we just say what it means to be here and those speeches do get a bit emotional. I know I got a bit emotional and a few of the other boys do, and just kind of speak on how what it means to be there and how proud you are to wear the jersey. So I think little things like that is really like building us to be a nation that can compete at the high level and, you know, put a bit of pride in the jersey, not just, you know, any jersey.
Yeah, a lot of teams talk about, you know, culture and connection, but when you're actually connected by blood and you've got the same stories and the same upbringing, what's that like in the inner sanctum when you're preparing and training, knowing that that's we're all the same here, we're connected by blood, we've got the same stories? Like what does that feel like when you're lining up with each other?
Yeah, it's different. Like I speak to Paul Olberg, he's one of my best mates, and we're both over in France together, and we kind of speak on how it's good to play for Toulouse and we love playing for Toulouse, but we kind of want to play well so we can get to this. We can put that Cook Island jersey on because that's the team that means the most to us. It kind of, like we said, it touches the heart. And when you do get to run out there and you take a look up in the stands and stuff and you see all the flags and your family and stuff, it's a different feeling, you know. And with all the other boys too, we all connected. Like everyone's the same. Everyone, we have the same jokes. Everyone just like, it's different. Camp's a good time. Camp's a good time. And we get to play at the end of it, which is even better.
You also got to play off your brother, Vincent Rennie, and represent the nation. What was that like actually playing with your blood brother and representing, you know, your dad's side of the family?
Yeah. It was awesome. I think with the big fella, he kind of like, he was the first one to play for the Cookies. I remember I was young and I kind of like, I didn't really embrace it as much, but I got into a camp and I was 18th man and he was playing and I remember watching him from the side and I was thinking, man, I never want to miss out on this ever again. And from that point on, I think I put my hand up for every other test after that. So, yeah, it was, and now it's kind of flipped. He's watching me and he's proud of me. So it's kind of, it's good.
Vincent Rennie, also Ruben's brother, he also led the Cook Island Bete. And this year, you know, we got to witness that you got to lead the Bete. What was that conversation like when, you know, someone asked you, whether it was Kay or a cultural advisor, when they said, you know, would you lead the boys in the Bete before the game?
Well, I was a funny one. I kind of like, Taki had come over to PNG and he kind of hurt his calf, and then I walked into the sheds and they were sitting around in a bit of a group, and Taki goes to me, "Bete boy, like, you lead the Bete." And I was like, "Oh, yeah. And it kind of like sunk in a bit, and I was like, yeah, I'll do it. So as soon as I found that out, I got on the phone to my brother and I messaged him straight. I said, "Gee, I'm leading the Bete." And he was like, he just sent me a big message saying, "Bro, it's unreal that two brothers get to lead it." Because a bit about me, I'd never do this. I would never lead anything like that. I would always, because he was my older brother, we're quite close in age, and I'd always kind of hide behind him. So if anything needed to be said, or if anything needed, like a haka needed to be started, I'd just hide behind Vin, and I'd just be like, "Yeah, you got it. And then without him there, I kind of had to go out of my shell, and bro, it's been mean.
What did you learn about yourself in that moment then, about the meaning of actually coming out of your shell? And actually, it's a privilege and a pride, a privilege to be asked to be able to do that. But yeah, like, what did you learn about yourself?
It's pretty much that, just like taking the opportunity. It's a privilege, man. Like, I know us Islanders are a bit shy and stuff, but now you kind of, if you get the opportunity to do something special or do something for your people, I think it's a privilege. And so if you get asked to lead a pair, if you get asked to get up and dance for something, just do it, because it's a privilege. And I think that's a learning curve for me. I was speaking to some of the younger boys and about doing dances and doing stuff like that. I said, "Bro, I was the same as you when I was young. I did not want to do nothing. I'd go all red face and I'd get all shy about it. But as I kind of got older, I thought, man, this could be my last time in camp. This could be my last thing. So why not like get into it and lead the pair or do whatever you have to do for the team?"
I want to touch on your journey shortly, but before we do get to that journey, you spent some time over in Papua New Guinea in the PAC Champs, and our audience, we've got a large audience. Like, me and Sam are pretty famous over in PNG.
Oh, mate, can't walk 5 metres.
Yeah, sure, brother.
But our PNG audience is huge on Nisian footy, and what I wanted to ask you was, what was it like for you and your experience and seeing the Cook Island culture and also the PNG culture come together? I know I've seen some footage when you went to that village.
Yeah.
What was that experience like for you, and what's PNG like for you and the team?
PNG's unreal. PNG's like, it's different. It's definitely different. It was my second time there, but they just love it, eh? They just love rugby league. They just love everything about it. They love all the players. They get behind you on everything, no matter what team you play for. If you're going against the Kumuls, if you're playing for the Kumuls, they'll support you in anything. So it's special. And then especially going down to that village that, I think it was, the story was some, was it, they brought the religion to the,
yeah, the
something like that.
The missionaries.
Oh, yep,
yeah. The missionaries went and they brought Christianity. Yeah, Cook Island. So that's special too, because you go down there and they're singing all Cook Island songs and you got all kids running around just carefree. So it kind of gives you a good, like a bit of a perspective on life, and they're just all happy, bro. Everyone's happy there. They don't got much, but they're just all smiles, all like, you know, happy to see you and just, yeah. It was a good experience.
Yeah, it is a special place. And before we do get to a bit more of your journey, I just want to take you back to that camp for in Raro. What was your favourite moment from that camp, being in the motherland with the team?
My favourite moment was probably, because we went to a few other clubs, and we went to Arorangi, we went to Tupapa, and we went to a few
Arorangi
others.
Arorangi Bears, the Tupapa Panthers. Yeah, I'm all over it now.
Yeah. But my favourite was probably going to where my granddad's from, my old man's from. It was the Ngatangi FC Eagles, because that's where, like, you know, I felt a connection. And we had our meal and we did a pe'e and a dance and stuff. And I just felt, in my heart, I just felt like, bro, this is it. This is home. Even though I've never really been there, I was like, bro, this is me. But probably for me, it was going to the Ngatangi FC Eagles, meeting all the boys there, saying how proud they are of us. Yeah, it was me.
The Ngatangi FC Eagles, their field would hands down be the most beautiful field in the world, because that's the one right next to Moody Beach, yeah?
Kiana that did that, their CK camp.
Kiana Takarangi, they done the CK camp there where just
beautiful
looks over
scenes.
The lagoon.
Yeah. Get to the Cooks. Yeah, we need to awesome. Do a show in the Cooks.
See you there in Christmas holidays, bro.
the only thing with that field, though, it's nice, but it's a rock hard, bro. You'd probably, if you get tackled on, you'd probably knock yourself out.
Hey, I've seen some of those fields that the PNG locals play on.
Oh,
exactly.
Oh, yeah.
That is luxury to those fields. At the moment, you play for Toulouse. You've just qualified to be promoted into the Super League. You've been there for 3 years now?
Yeah, 3 years. And fourth season next year, yeah.
I was just telling Sammy off air, I was like, bro, you know when I first retired, I come back 3 years ago and I said I was doing some scaffolding? Well, that was with Ruben and his brother, Vince.
Yeah.
And I remember, so not long ago, you were full-time working, had a different bit of a rugby league journey, didn't quite make NRL or into a full-time environment, but you still found a way to create this pathway where you're now playing professional rugby league. You're playing on the other side of the world in France, about to play in the England competition. You're also at the international level about to play in another Rugby League World Cup. First of all, from going from working 3 years ago to your journey to France, how did that come about and what were those feelings like? The emotions of, man, I have to take sacrifices here if I want to achieve things in the next few years.
Yeah, it was, like you said, I was just working and I think I kind of was just hanging on to that playing New South Wales Cup, hoping for something. And I know when you're younger, you kind of like have a dream. And then as you get older, you kind of got to get a bit lucky. But, you know, some stuff has to fall your way and it kind of wasn't. And I was kind of staying in it for a bit. And then that World Cup happened and my missus kind of said to me, look, like we had two boys and we just had a newborn. And she was like, look, you go to that World Cup and you come back with something. So I went there and I played. And then when I come back, I got the call from my agent saying that, oh, it's a bit hard to get into any Super League teams, but Toulouse, they're a championship side. They're in the second division, but they're full-time, they're professional. If you're keen, they'll be happy to have a talk. So within a week or so, they'd send the contract through and then me and my missus decided we'd sign it and we'd just, try that experience over there in France and see how we go. And if we don't like it, we can always come home. And it's been 3 years now, so we're enjoying it. And yeah, now we're professional in Super League and that's the reason why I went over there to play top level, because I know we didn't make it over here, but nah, it seems like everything's falling into place now and I think, it was the right move for us, yeah.
How much does it mean to you having your wife in your corner like that or partner in your corner and just giving you those words of encouragement to be able to go do your thing and we've got you?
Yeah, she holds it down like most of our footy players' wives, man. They don't get a lot of praise at times because it's always us who's fronting everything and who gets all the praise for footy and whatever. But most of us wouldn't be anywhere without our partners and our wives, man. So yeah, she holds it down for me and she's, like you said, she's in my corner and she's got my back. She'll follow me to the end of the earth. So yeah.
What would your advice be to rugby league players, especially here in either West or in Sydney and Brisbane, where it is a bubble? Because man, I'm telling these guys in Union, mate, we get to see the world. Like it's a privilege to be able to see the world and play and do what you love. But
and NRL is not the only competition.
Not the only avenue. So what would your advice be to someone that's there on the brink of it? It might not be happening, but an opportunity is there to go overseas.
Yeah, it's probably that. Just like NRL isn't, you can always come back. That's the thing. Especially if you're young. Yeah, you can always come back. I tell everyone who speaks to me, oh, how's it over there? What's it going to this and that? I said, bro, if you've got an opportunity, do it, because you can always come back. Like, nothing's holding you there. You try it out, you like it, it's good, you stay and you can play for a bit. And if you don't, you can always come back. So I think it's hard to tell a younger person because you're so tunnel visioned on NRL. Nah, I want to make it. This is, this is the number one. And it is, but sometimes you have to take a different route to other people. And I think if you can get through to a few young boys, I think there's a rugby kid from Penrith. His name's Hines.
Hines Limoto,
I met him because he come over.
Yeah, he's signed at Toulouse,
Rugby Union in France is massive. I didn't know that until I went over there.
Yeah.
And he come over and he said, he's going to do his GIF, which is his...
3 years?
It's 3 years, so he can become a French junior.
Yep.
So if he eventually wants to go and play top 14 or if he comes back and plays NRL, he's always got that. He won't be a quota spot. So
yeah.
I think if you do educate a lot of young players on different avenues that you can go down rather than just staying in it, taking training trials, playing, it's good. If that's your only opportunity, yeah, take it. But if you do have other opportunities, it's always good to have a look and take a step back and think, man, I might try that.
Love it. You can always come back. You'll be back.
You'll always come back. You'll be back.
Well, last question from me before we let you go. With the Rugby League World Cup next year, Cook Islands qualified. and you had to have one message to give to all our Cook Island people, what would that message be?
What would I say?
Carmichael, choose me. Nah, Luke.
Yeah, Carmichael, bro. Put me in the team, please. Nah. I'd probably just say, get behind us, man. Like, I know it's been a long time coming, and it is. We feel it every time we don't come away with the win. I know all the boys, you know, we're never happy every time we won off. But all the cookies around the world, just get behind us, because I think the tide's turning, and I think we're really going to shake the competition up. And I truly believe that, especially with everything happening now, Carmichael's at the helm of everything, and all the boys coming back. I think we're going to do our nation proud. And I think they deserve it. They deserve it.
And the Vaka is moving. Love
the Vaka's moving, bro.
Hopefully in the right direction.
I need to get on that Vaka to Raro, man.
There's a few spaces underneath you can probably jump in.
Nah, bro, it's been an absolute honor to have you here on the show. I appreciate your time, and again, just a huge congratulations. One, for qualifying for the World Cup, but also seeing your journey. I know that we're one day on the scaffold, and I was complaining. Yes. You had the belt and the boots on.
I had the belt on, bro.
those humble ones.
Just telling me, go
you
get me that.
You think those tough times. But, that's for sure.
You don't get paid to think, bro. Just go
and get
there.
But just to see the growth, and you've been getting your club into the Super League, but also playing professional rugby league isn't easy. But to be able to take your family and have those experiences and enjoy it and still be you, that's what, it's really cool to see. So real proud of you, brother, and I appreciate you for jumping on.
Much
bro.
Love, Kaz. I appreciate it. Take care.
Give me three answers for this one.
Yes, this is our game of categories. 3 points up for grabs each week. The loser has to shout the other host and their partner a spa day and a dinner at the end of the year. If you're new to Tunisian footy, my name is Tenera Aruna, and I'm here with my co-e, Sam Wykes. And
this part of the show, we get a bit feisty.
Well, we're very competitive.
Well, someone gets a bit angry.
The reason why I introduced us again, because last week we done our knockout tipping comp, and we ended up finishing a draw.
It was a draw.
That was for a jersey. So we'll have to decide something, whether we swap jerseys or...
We'll do something. We'll come up with something.
But this is,
this one's for
give me three on Tunisian Footy Mondays. And the score is 39 to me, 38 to Sammy. If you listened to last week's show...
Have you got your South African teams yet, mate?
Sammy come up with the worst question. So,
come on, man. I asked all of our guests.
And then he's like, I'm good at geography because apparently he knows all the clubs across the... Earth, the planet. So
you haven't come to the party.
I've come and returned serve back to you.
Okay.
And we've just had our guest, Ruben Rennie from France.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And so the French have their own rugby league tournament called Ligue 1.
Yep.
Give me three teams that play in that competition.
So is Toulouse one of them?
Toulouse play in Ligue 1, so they're like in a different, they're like a level up. But
can I have Toulouse in?
If you can give me their mascot.
Oh,
Queensland teams. Oh, there you go. One of the Queensland teams.
Toulouse Titans.
Toulouse Olympic Broncos.
Toulouse Olympic. They come out of that. So do I get no points for that one?
Oh, wait and see. Actually, I'll give you one.
Okay. So there is Bordeaux is another one. Bordeaux has a team.
Nope.
They do.
That's rugby union, mate.
I'm just going through all the rugby union teams.
Try another one.
I'll try another rugby union team. Catalans is obviously in the Super League.
That's correct.
Toulouse was one. Toulon. They're south of France.
Toulon. That's wrong.
What?
We've got Albi, Avignon, Carcassonne.
Carcassonne.
They fair to play for Carcassonne.
Oh, I remember
Lezignan, Lemieux, Pia. Pia Donkeys.
Oh, the Pia Donkeys.
Pia Donkeys.
That's got to be the best team.
Yeah.
So what are we saying? I've got none here.
you got 1 point.
I've got one. Well, I'll take that. But at least I knew some of the...
next week.
At least I knew some of the provinces in France, though. You couldn't even give me anything in South Africa.
I don't care about South Africa.
You should have.
Cook Islands beat South Africa Rhinos.
Yeah, you're a bit nervous when it was...
58-6.
You're a bit nervous when it was 6-4.
Yes.
But anyway, that's our time.
So
I'll take
week,
the 1 point.
Come back with some better questions.
More geography questions for next week. But that's our time up. Tell your footy-loving friends about Tunisian footy with Sammy Watts and Tinidao Arona. Get it wherever you get your podcast or on the ABC Pacific website.
Ka kite, have a great week.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.